Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Unite our hearts together in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father in heaven, we thank Thee, Lord, that we can draw nigh into Thy holy presence. We recognize, Lord, that Thy presence is holy. We recognize that the angels around Thy throne, Lord, how they cry out in a threefold manner, holy, holy, holy. But Lord, we thank that we have been bidden entrance into Thy holy presence by the precious blood of the Lamb. We thank Thee, Lord, that that blood speaks better thing than the blood of Abel. We thank Thee, Lord, that it speaks peace to us, that God is no longer at war with our soul. And even more than that, not only is there a cessation of hostility, but Lord God, You have now come to us as our Heavenly Father, and Lord, You have promised to protect us and provide us. And therefore, Lord, according to those promises, we pray, Lord, You protect our gathering here tonight. We pray, Lord, You provide us, Lord, with a rich measure of Thy Spirit, that, Lord, we would know free course in our hearts as we worship Thee in spirit and truth. And, Lord, we would hear most of all the voice of God through Thy holy Word. So, Lord, come, answer Thy many promises in Thy Word. Speak to us afresh this evening, for I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We'll read together from God's Word, the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 6, commencing a reading there at verse 45. And straightway he constrained the disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they had heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the street, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. We know God will bless the public reading of his word, and we'll sing another hymn together. Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and he will surely give you rest by trusting in his word.
Delighted to be with you here this evening to open up God's precious word. We do thank the Reverend Murray for reading to us from Mark chapter 6, and it's this portion that we want to come to for a few moments tonight and to consider. Now, the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is one that is well known, it is one that is well documented in Scripture. There are many events, there are many accounts that are recorded for us in the life and the ministry of Christ from a young child right through to his ascension again into heaven. There are many parts of Scripture that we can look at tonight, and we can see details of what Christ did here on earth. And apart from his crucifixion, apart from his resurrection and those major events surrounding the salvation that Christ has purchased for us, perhaps some of the most well-known and the most prominent and most taught and preached upon are those occasions when Christ healed the sick. He made the blind to see. He made the lame to walk. He cleansed the lepers. He made the dumb to speak. And as we come to our text today in Mark chapter 6, and particularly the verses 53 down to the end of the chapter and the verse 56, we read here of details of this very ministry of Jesus Christ. We're given details of how Christ, upon his arrival on the shores of Gennesaret, continued this very ministry of healing the sick. And really what we have here in these verses is a summary of that healing ministry of Christ. What took place here in these verses that we have before us, it really summarizes and details to us what Christ did here on earth. And the vital and the most important thing about these events that took place and about these healings of our Savior were not so much the physical acts themselves, although of course they were miraculous, they were wondrous, they were amazing things to witness and even for us today to read. But the whole purpose and the main and primary role of these records of Christ's healing is the great spiritual lessons that Christ was teaching the readers and those, of course, that came to see and to witness what he had done. You see, these occasions where Christ met the sick, where he healed the sick, they didn't happen just to show the power and to prove the power and the sovereignty of Christ. Yes, that's of course what they did. That certainly was a role. They proved that Christ was who he said he was, that he did what he said he would do. But they took place and they're recorded for us, particularly in the Word of God, so that they would teach us the message of the gospel. They reveal to each one of us our need of a Savior. They reveal our sin-sick condition. They show us how Christ came to seek and to save the lost, how he came to heal us, spiritually speaking. And for a few moments tonight, we want to consider the very simple subject, healed by Christ, and we want to notice a few things from the portion that we have before us. The first thing that I want you to notice this evening here is that there is sickness. There is sickness. In our text, we are confronted almost immediately with those who were sick. They were suffering from ailment. Christ and his disciples, as was read to us, they arrived by ship, they disembarked, and they were met and greeted by the local people of the region. And these people, they recognized the Savior. They recognized him to be the one that they had no doubt heard about. His fame had went before him. And here was Christ, the one who healed the sick and the lame. And then in verse 55, we're confronted straight away with this sickness that was there. It says there regarding the people, and ran through that whole region round about and began to carry about in beds those that were sick where they heard he was. And again, if we were to read down into verse 56, we see that there were those that were sick. And here was a problem that Christ was confronted with. Here was a problem that was evident in the people of this region. And I put it to you this evening that this sickness, while real, while physical in these people, while a very real problem for those that were experiencing this sickness, yet they are a picture and a pointer to the spiritual sickness of man. There are two things to observe about the sickness here of the people in Mark 6. Notice firstly the scale of the sickness. Notice where the sick were gathered from to Christ. Look at verse 55 again. It says, "And ran through that whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick." And we're told here that the people of that area, they gathered from the whole region round about. This was not just a few isolated cases. This was not just ones and twos that were ill and poorly and unwell. Not just a handful of those that were suffering, but the magnitude of this sickness was great. There were multitudes, perhaps even an innumerable number, that were suffering from some illness. We read further in verse 56 there, "And whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets." And no matter where Christ went, no matter where he traveled, whether it was in the village or the town or the city, there was nowhere that Christ visited that he wasn't confronted with those that were sick. And the scope and the scale of the sickness was great. And what a parallel we have tonight to the great sickness and the great disease of sin. You see, tonight you might be physically well. You might be fit and able. Medically speaking, you could be in great shape. All your faculties could be functioning as they ought. Physically, you're well this evening. You're able to do all that you're designed and created to do, and all may be well physically, and yet at the same time tonight, you're suffering from a great disease of sin. You're suffering from a sin-sick soul, the greatest disease to plague the human race. Isaiah 64:6 reminds us, but we are all as an unclean thing. We are all defiled. We are all polluted. We are all suffering from the disease and the illness of sin. The human race is a diseased race. Of course, sin entered in the Garden of Eden through Adam and Eve. That great sin of disobedience didn't only corrupt the first man and woman, but it corrupted the entire creation. And every man, every woman, every young person, every member of this human race has a soul that is defiled and corrupted and overtaken by this great disease. And here we see these people in Gennesaret, how the scope of their sin, the scale of their disease is great, and so too is our sin this evening. Scripture tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Whether you're rich, whether you're poor, whether you're well known, whether you're unknown, whether you're good living or not, whether you're from the village or the town or the city, it doesn't matter this evening, for this scale and this scope of the disease of sin, it affects your very heart and soul tonight. There was sickness everywhere in the region, but not only the scale of the sickness, but consider the seriousness of the sickness. We see just how seriously sick these people were by how those around them and what they did, how they interacted with them. In verse 55, we learn that the people began to carry about in beds those that were sick. In verse 56, we learn that there was sick lying in the streets. And whilst we're not, by the Holy Spirit, given the details and the specifics of the particular sicknesses and illnesses that they were suffering, and we could speculate about what these people were going through and what they were suffering, yet there's one thing that we can be sure about, and that is that their sickness was serious. It was serious. They had to be carried in beds. They had to be laid in the streets. These people were a people that were seriously sick. They were suffering a great affliction. And dear friends, you must realize tonight the seriousness of the disease of sin. So many today, they just laugh off the idea of sin. They try to play it down. They try to dismiss it. They dress it up in nice language. They use fancy terms. They can live their life as they want. They can do wicked and nasty things, and yet they dress it up to be something normal and something decent, and the world is asleep to the seriousness of sin. But no matter how you dress it up, the truth of the matter is you've transgressed the law of God. You've offended a holy God. You've fallen short of His glory. You're under the wrath and the condemnation of the Almighty God. And one day you will face judgment and punishment for that sin. Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages or the reward of sin is death. Yes, physical death is that great gateway into God's eternity. It is a result of the fall of man, but there's an even greater death, because we're told in Hebrews 9:27 that it's appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment, and you will stand before God as judge. And as a result of your sin-sick soul, you'll be cast into a lost sinner's hell as punishment, as reward, as wages for your sin. The scope of this sickness here confronted by Christ was great. So was its seriousness, and so too is the problem of sin this evening. The sickness. Notice, secondly, the solution. You see, all was not lost for these people. There was a solution to their sickness. And that solution, of course, was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Oh, before, their condition seemed hopeless. They seemed helpless. They couldn't remedy the problem themselves. The doctors couldn't do anything for them. They had no means, clearly, to heal themselves. And really, they were without hope. Oh, but then Christ arrives on the scene. Can you not sense the excitement and the hope of the people here? The joy that the arrival that Christ brought to this people, word began to spread fast. Christ had arrived on the shores. They would have heard about his fame, as we said already, and these people now had hope. Their hopelessness was turned to a great anticipation. They ran. Notice that in verse 55. They didn't walk. They didn't take their time. They didn't procrastinate. They didn't put it off. They ran to gather as many of the sick as they could. Why? Because they wanted to bring them to Christ. There was an excitement. There was an urgency. There was a great hope and expectation. And dear friend, tonight I tell you with great excitement that there's hope for you. Oh, in and of itself, you're in a sinful situation tonight. You're hopeless. You're helpless. You're in a serious condition and you can do nothing about it. No one around you can do anything about it. And yet there's hope in the gospel tonight because Jesus Christ is passing this way just as he was in the text before us. The Messiah has come to seek and to save the lost. Christ has died and Calvary has shed his precious blood to save you from the terrible disease of sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Christ took the punishment. Christ paid the price. Christ bore the wrath of God, not for himself because he was the one who knew no sin, but for sinners who are sick with this great and terrible disease, so that we might be made righteous, so that we might be cleansed, we might be healed from sin, so that we might be made right with God. Romans 6:23, we quoted it earlier, "For the wages of sin is death," but there's another part to that verse, and it says this, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And there's hope for you tonight, dear friend, because through Jesus Christ your sins can be forgiven. Here was a great hope for these people. Christ had arrived. There are three things that the people did. Firstly, they approached Christ. Look at the end of verse 55. It says, "There where they heard he was, they went to him." Wherever Christ was, they were there. They were gathering the sick unto him. And dear friend, tonight you cannot be saved from your sin unless you come to Jesus Christ. Coming to church will not save you. Coming to the pastor will not save you. Coming to the waters of baptism will not save you. Only coming to Jesus Christ will save your soul from a lost sinner's hell. Christ says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." These people knew that they had to get to Jesus Christ. He was their only hope. He was their only remedy. He was their only cure. And your only hope of salvation tonight is Jesus Christ. But not only did they approach Christ, but we see here that they asked Christ. Look at what they did in verse 56. It tells us there that they besought him. The idea behind that word besought is really to call or to exhort. They didn't only come to Christ, but they called to Christ. They lifted up their voices unto him. They pleaded for his mercy and for his help. And what are we told in Romans 10:13? "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." They approached Christ. They asked Christ. Then we see they attached themselves to Christ. Look at verse 56. "And besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment." And the Greek word used for touch there means to attach oneself. They wanted just to touch the very hem, that very thread of his garment, and they had faith that if they did, Christ would heal them. And dear friends, you must attach yourself to Christ tonight. Throw yourself upon him. By faith, trust in him for the salvation of your never dying soul. Romans 3:28 tells us that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You don't need your works. You don't need any righteousness that you think you have. You must place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Attach yourself to him this evening. It's the only way you can be saved. It's the only way that you can be taken off that road leading to certain destruction. These people demonstrated a faith in Christ. They attached themselves to him. They surrendered their lives by faith to him. The sickness, the solution, and thirdly and finally, consider here the salvation. What happened? What became of those that were sick? What was their outcome? Well, look again at Mark 6 and the verse 56, and we read there, "And as many as touched him were made whole." All who came to Christ were healed. All who cast themselves upon him were delivered. That's what the Greek word means there for made whole. It means to deliver, to save. They were delivered from their illness. They were saved from their sickness. Christ says in John 6, the verse 37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." And tonight, if you come to Christ in faith, if you repent of your sin, if you throw yourself upon the Savior and the Savior alone, you have that great guarantee and gospel promise that you will surely, certainly be saved for all eternity. As Christ healed those here, he will heal you from your sin. And I trust tonight that you would do that. You would surrender your all to the Savior and take him tonight to heal you and to save you from your sin. We'll bow in a word of prayer as we bring our time around God's word to a close. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for time spent around thy word this evening. We thank thee for the great gospel message. We thank thee about how it warns us that we're sin-sick souls heading to a lost eternity. But we praise thee that Jesus Christ is passing this way, that he came to seek and to save the lost. And by throwing ourselves upon him in faith, repenting of our sin and taking him as our Savior, we will receive that great promise of sins forgiven for all eternity. Bless thy word to our hearts, we pray, for it's in Christ's precious and worthy name we ask. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.